We're so proud of our Texans, huh? Oh, Cowboys. Yeah. I hate them. Well, we've already divided our church left and right this morning. Amen. Pastor's gone. We'll get the unity right out of here. Our pastor is traveling. He was able to be a keynote speaker at the Kingdom Builders Conference held in Austin with business leaders and religious leaders all over our state. And man, they just had a time. You know our pastor, he blew up, and he blew up in a good way. Man, the glory of God fell in that conference. And just pray for him as he's traveling back today. We'll see him Wednesday. But today I want to focus on a topic that I feel is very in season for today. Now, today is the darkest day in a group of people's life. And that people are going to be traveling tomorrow morning bright and early to school. How many parents are very excited about this day? On one side, it's dark, and on the other side, hallelujah, it is school. And I would say, as a youth pastor, I pray a little bit different in the summer as opposed to when it's school time. And because I start praying for the right friends in their life, and I'm sure as parents, you do the same thing. You start praying for the right influences. You start praying for favor on their teachers to give them extra credit. And but I want to talk about something today that you can maybe start praying for your student, and not only your student, but your life. And this is something that I feel is very pertinent. It's very influential. It's very powerful in the life of a believer. And it's this. It's the concept of focus. Say focus. Focus. Say it one more time. Focus. We're going to wake you up this morning. Y'all ready to have some fun in church? Amen. Amen. Well, you know what focus means in the verb tense? To be concentrated on. And I've really found out, I heard the story of a man who was married for quite some time. And they're laying in bed, and his wife is starting to tell him the deepest and darkest things that are in her heart and all this kind of stuff. She's pouring it out on him. And the TV's on at the time, and not knowingly, unconsciously, the man turns up the volume on the TV. Somebody laughed because they've done it before. And I thought, you know what, there is a powerful picture of what focus is not. Focus is something, when you do this concept of focus, when you concentrate on something, how many of you have ever looked at, like, just the object of your affection, and you can look with your physical eyes, everything else around it gets dim. You know what I'm talking about? It's just that which you're focusing on comes into focus, and everything else kind of dims away. It reminds me of puppy love. It reminds me of two individuals that are youth leaders in our youth ministry that are going to be getting married on Saturday coming up, Miss Ashley Whitmire and Stephen Rocha. And we're really excited about that. But I remember when I got married and we went on our honeymoon, we went to Mexico. And we went to Cozumel. How many of you have ever been to Cozumel? Hallelujah. And we would walk down the street, and we would walk down these streets, and you could just tell that we were honeymooners. You know what I'm saying? We'd just kind of be walking and strolling along, kind of skipping to the beat. And everybody that was shouting out from the stores would go, honeymoon special, honeymoon special. And they would just kind of lure you in to their store because they knew there was something different about us. And I can remember that I don't care if there was a bomb that was going off. We were still just walking. Hey, how you doing? And we were just focused. And there's something powerful about the concept of focus. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be looking at this scripture, verses 1 through 3. To cause to be concentrated. Focus. Focus. How many of you have ever taken vacation from work? How many of you have ever taken like a 2-week vacation or a 3-week vacation? It is so hard to get back in work mode after vacation. Man, I mean, I remember, especially when I was at Exxon, I would go back and, you know, no one does your work for you while you're gone. It just piles up and stacks up. Your inbox has become 4 inboxes, you know what I'm saying? And I remember it would take me a good week just to even take the first page off the inbox because I was still in vacation mode. I was still in this relaxed state of mind. I was still just kind of cruising along, wanting to eat everything that I could see. You know what I'm saying? How many have been on a cruise? Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, I think some of us in our faith have taken vacations. And we've lost that focus, we've lost that discipline, we've lost that fixing of our eyes on Christ. And that's what we're going to pick up today. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, say therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes, say fix. Our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Man, when you fix your eyes, when you fix your physical eyes upon something, everything else starts to dim. Everything else starts to fade into the background, and that which what you're looking at is the main thing for your time. I want to look at two aspects of fixing our eyes, of focus. I want to look at the physical, and I want to look at the spiritual aspect of focusing on Christ, fixing our eyes. Listen to what Matthew 6, 22, Jesus is talking here, and he says this. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking about, man, really, your heart, your conscience, your aim, and all this kind of stuff that you are. And I want to look at it as a physical for a second. If your eyes, think about your physical eyes. Can you imagine being blind? I mean, put yourself in a blind man's place. You would never be able to see the beauty of the shores of Galveston Island. You could never lay hold of the brown wave that's coming to engulf you. You have to throw your bathing suit away because it's stained. But you could never lay eyes on the majesty of the Grand Canyon, on how high that the Colorado Rockies pierces the blue sky. You could never see all of the majesty that God put his hand to. But let's do the flip side. If you didn't have your sight, TV wouldn't have its luster, would it? The movie theater, which is, you want to go to the movies? No. Never ask a blind person to go to the movies. It wouldn't have the same appeal. You know, I'm telling you, there is something about our eyes that get us into trouble. We start looking at the wrong things. We start reading the wrong things. We start just letting our eyes be opened to the things of this world. You see, if the eye is the lamp of the body, if we allow our eyes to look at things that are dark, let me tell you something, it comes into your soul. The eyes and the ears are the gateway into your soul. And let me tell you, I tell this to our students all the time, and this is not a student thing. This is an adult thing. This is a believer thing. But I tell them that there is a term called GIGO. You know what GIGO is? Garbage in, garbage out. GIGO, say it with me. Garbage in, garbage out. If you let garbage into your life, if you let it into your eyes, let me tell you something, that garbage is going to start producing out of your own life. You know, I know the old school, you say, don't go to movies, you'll go to hell. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that because I love a good movie, amen? It's awesome. I love to just chill and watch a movie. But we have to start guarding what our eyes see. Are we watching the right movies? Are we allowing our eyes to see some stuff that is just flat out garbage? When you go to the store, how many of you have seen the magazine racks? You know, Cosmo and Shape and all these things that are right there. And if you allow yourself, you can look at the garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. And thousands and billions of dollars are spent by our media industry of putting the garbage into our lives. Now, if they put that much energy and that much decision-making into putting the garbage in, I'm telling you, the church has to stand up and say, I'm going to put some energy into keeping it out. I'm going to let my eyes, I'm going to fix my physical eyes on the things of God. I am not going to allow my eyes to wander. I'm not going to allow my eyes to look at the garbage, because I know that garbage in equals garbage out. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of my faith. There's something about focus, and say this three words: focus on Him. Focus on Him. That's all we got to do. And if we can focus on Jesus Christ, if we can focus on that author, that perfecter of our faith, let me tell you something. Our physical eyes will not be wandering to and fro looking for the garbage. Young people, young ladies, I'm not just talking about the pornographic industry, but I'm talking about what you read, the magazines that you read, the people that you admire. Those eyes get set upon this model, that model, and they start thinking, well, I'm not good enough. Well, let me tell you something. They airbrush those people anyways. That's not real. That's not reality. We got to start fixing our eyes, our physical eyes, on the right things of God. I know that sounds old school, but let me tell you something. We need a little bit of old school up inside of us. We need to start stepping out of movies that are garbage. You know, oh, well, it's PG-13. Well, I don't do rated R, but I do PG-13. Let me tell you something. There's some PG-13 movies that are just ridiculously bad. Some of the rated R are better than the, not that I've ever seen it. Let's rewind that. Rewind. No. See, but we got to start focusing on Him. Fix your physical eyes on the right things. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We got to start seeking with our physical eyes. We got to be radical. We got to be just, I mean, they spend billions of dollars putting it into us. Man, we got to spend some money saying no. Or maybe not spending money. Man, we got rid of our cable. And how many know that's hard? I don't suggest it to anybody. No. But you know, we don't have some of the channels that are just trash. You know what I'm saying? Parents, man, there's some things out there called parentcontrol.tv that you can really take some drastic measures in helping your child, helping your student really watch what he sees or she sees. Amen? We got to take some drastic measures. Focus on Him. Now I want to look at the spiritual aspect of focus. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. Now let's reread the scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. You still there? Verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that entangles and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, consider Him. Who's Him? Jesus. When in church, good answer is always Jesus. Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, I want to look at this, because a lot of times our faith is considered our spiritual eyes. Being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Sounds kind of like it's backwards, but I'm telling you, faith is sometimes backwards. Kingdom principles are sometimes backwards. And so faith is our spiritual eyes. It's the focusing on Christ and on God things. And here's what this passage of scripture says. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, why should we fix our eyes on Jesus? Well, I feel like there's some key things in this scripture that can help us answer the question, why? How many of you were here when I talked about kid faith? Why is a good question to ask. Here's one. It helps you throw off the hindrances and sin that can entangle your life. Now, how many of you get so busy in life that busyness just takes over? That work takes over, that it's hard to even have a conversation with your wife, that it's even hard to have a conversation with your husband or your kids or play with them or get down on the floor and play with your kids? How many of you got little kids? Hallelujah. Sometimes my life gets so hectic that when I get home, all that's calling me is the couch. It just calls my name. Come to me. But when I fix my eyes, when my focus is right, when my focus is on Christ, what happens is everything starts to unjumble. Everything, the web that I've been in, called life, starts to unjumble, and the main thing comes to view.
When all I think about is Christ, when all I think about him, I think about all of his attributes and characteristics and how he was. And so when I focus on that, I want to be like that. And then the sin that I've been in starts to not, it starts to lose its luster. It starts to lose its appetite in my life when I start focusing on him. You see, there's two things it says. It says everything that hinders and the sin. So what that tells me in the scripture is that everything that we're doing, it might not be sin, but it might not be the best thing. There are some things that we are doing that are permissible by God. Hey, you're still going to make it, but it's not the best thing. Our focus is on something else. Oh, it still might be on Christ, but our real focus is on some other things. And when it's on other things, the main thing gets put to the side. And then the best things that God wants for your life and for my life start to go to the wayside. And we start to lose it. And then, you know what? When we stop doing the best things, sin is really crouching at our door. It's creeping into our lives. It's creeping up so that when we are least expecting it, it jumps and gets on us. So fixing our eyes on Christ helps you throw off the hindrances. Number two, it helps you gain perspective, and it helps you to persevere. Now, how many of you have ever moaned and groaned about your problems? Me too. On a daily basis. Ask my wife. But I'm telling you, as soon as I see someone else, as soon as I see someone else's problems, as soon as I see someone else's situation, mine doesn't seem so bad after all. I gain perspective. I gain this perspective on life that, hey, you know what? I really don't have it that bad. That's why I love taking students on mission trips. That's why I love taking them across the border down in New Mexico, where the kids have a bottle top and they spin it and they have the wildest time in their life. And they are grateful for the water guns that were 50 cents at the dollar store. They go down there and they see, you know what? I don't have it so bad. Oh yeah, I got a PS2. I've been asking my mom for the PS3, but maybe that's not that important after all. And I think it's not just students, because as adults, we can play that game too. And we can, and it can just come up inside of us, our little problem, our things, our circumstances get so close to us that we can't see a different perspective. And what this is saying here is, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we do that, say that fast five times, it'll lead to this. We'll start considering him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Listen, when we start comparing our lives to Christ, when we start looking at Christ, we see it's not that bad. I didn't get lashes on my back this week. I didn't have to carry the cross up to Golgotha. I didn't have to be nailed to that cross. See, and so what it does, when we focus our attention, when we put our physical eyes, our focus totally on Christ, our problems start to diminish. Now, I'm not trying to minimize your pain. I'm not trying to say, well, it's not that bad. Because probably some of you are walking through some things right now that are desperate. You're walking through some things that are just hard. But I'm telling you, if you can get your eyes just for a second off that and just focus on Christ, it might help you persevere and not lose heart. Let me give you an example of focus. It comes out of Matthew chapter 14. If you want to, you can turn there. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So you don't have to turn to the table of contents. I'm so bad with the minor prophets in the Old Testament. They'll say, Obadiah, turn to Obadiah 2:1. I'm like, oh, geez. I'm going to look bad on this one. I'm in Revelation. Where's that? No. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now this is probably the coolest story in the Bible. This is my favorite. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake, walking on the water. Now how many of you stopping there would be freaked out if you were in a boat? How many of you have a boat? I don't either. But if I was on a boat and I saw a dude walking towards me on the water, I would be freaked out. That's not normal. That doesn't happen every day. And so they see this guy walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. I would too. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Now this is Peter. Peter's the bad, he's like the crazy one of the bunch. You know what I'm talking about? He's like the youth pastor of the church. I'm not this crazy, okay? So he says, "Hey, Lord, if it's you, if it's really you," he says, "then tell me to come out there." And so Jesus said, "All right, come. Now, probably said it in a different language. Jesus wasn't white with all that. I know all the pictures say he is, but he's not, with all this. No, anyways. Can we rewind that part too? I need some coffee. He said, "Come." And so Peter, the only guy on the boat, jumps out. And it's solid. And I'm telling you, before we found out that the winds and the waves were beating against this boat. And so it's not some little calm day, 7 o'clock in the morning, the sun's glistening on the lake and it's really nice. No, this is a bad storm. And so he gets out, and the waves are probably 6 foot to 10 foot tall, and man, he is on solid ground, and his focus is on Jesus. Man, mine would be too. You know what I'm saying? It better be you, God. And so when every step I'd be like, but he started one step after another, and his focus was fixed on Christ. And he started walking on water. I don't know any other man that has walked on water. Don't tell me Chris Angel, mind freak, all this kind of stuff. It's illusionist. It's not real. Okay? Just making sure. But Peter got down at the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. I love how the Bible just says that in one sentence. Yeah, Peter got off the boat, walked on water. Neat. You could have taken out a whole chapter and explained what he did in that. Nice. But he says this, Peter got down off the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And what? He began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Well, I'll tell you why he doubted. The waves were big. And I ain't never walked on water before. I'm sorry, God, okay? I'm used to the dry land. Oh, you of little faith. Yeah. Me and little faith. Why did you doubt? They were big. I'm sorry, God. I got little faith, but those were big waves. They were coming right at me. But the reason I want to tell this story is because if he just fixed his eyes on Jesus, he probably wouldn't even saw the waves. If his focus would have been on Christ, the waves would have never been an issue because they would have dimmed away. They would have really faded in the background. Let me tell you something. When you fix your focus, when you fix your eyes on Christ, the impossible happens. For Peter, it was walking on water. And how many of y'all have ever tried to walk on water? You've been a kid. You heard the story. Went home to the pool. Oh, God, give me faith. Oh, God, give me faith. Poof. And you're down. Man! I cried out, "Lord, save me," but no one was there. No. But what it teaches us is that, let me tell you, when we focus our attention upon Christ, when we focus our eyes, our spiritual eyes upon Christ, the impossible is possible. Man, that wrecks my world. Because sometimes when my focus is not on Christ, sometimes I lose interest in the miraculous. Sometimes I lose interest in the things of God. Sometimes I lose interest in talking to my friends about Christ. Sometimes I lose interest in inviting people to church. Sometimes I lose interest in the things that God is interested in. You see, one step after another, Peter got closer to Christ. And at one step, one day at a time, we're getting closer and closer to Christ. The enemy tries to throw the wind. He tries to throw the waves. He tries to throw this and he tries to throw that circumstance at us to get our eyes like this. But if we just keep our heads steady, if we just lift up our eyes to the hills, man, I'm telling you, the impossible becomes possible. Focus on him. See, I think focus has everything to do with the success you will have in life. I believe focus is the key to your relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe focus is the key to your relationship with your husband or wife. If you've got the TV on and something important starts talking, the best thing you can do, man, power. Don't hit the volume. Hit the power. Focus. And when you focus, what happens? You start to allow God's reality to come inside, and something supernatural starts to happen. Something supernatural starts to take over. See, focusing on him, it'll untangle you. If you are tangled up right now in a sea of sin, if you are tangled up right now with winds and waves, if you are tangled up right now with anything that's going on in your life, all you have to do is lift up your eyes to Christ. And in doing that, I'm not saying that your circumstances are going to get better, but let me tell you something, they will dim. And Christ's hand, if you start to sink, will be right there to grab you and pick you up and then question you. Why'd you doubt? Where was your focus? I want to close with this as you play a little bit, Wade Dean. Dinner music, we need some. We got to engulf ourselves into the things of God. We got to get around people that will build our appetite for the things of God. You know what? Show me your 5 closest friends, and I'll show you your future. If those friends are building your appetite, if those friends, and this is not just for students, man, these are principles for life. If we get around those that are focusing on Christ, you know, if we're the only ones that are just looking to the left and everybody else is, sooner or later we're going to see everybody else and we're going to start focusing on the right things. As a church, let me tell you something. What if we all just fixed our eyes upon Christ? Can you imagine the impact we're going to have in our community? Can you imagine? What if we started to focus our attention upon reaching the lost? And that every single person in here decided, you know what, this week I'm going to tell someone about Christ. Maybe I don't have to lead them in the sinner's prayer, but I'm going to invite them to church. Maybe I'm going to focus on that. What if we started focusing on maturing our faith upon educating ourselves in the Word? I can't wait for Christian education to come on board because I want to get deep in the Word. I want to mature my faith a little bit more because I haven't reached it and neither have you. I want to focus on serving my world. I want to focus. I want to serve a hamburger at church in the park. I want to serve a hamburger down to the homeless person. I want my hands to start working. I want to focus. Philippians 3, and I'll end here. Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Neither have I. But one thing I do, one thing. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." I press on towards the goal. I focus my eyes. In the Hebrew, in the original text, press meant to strain like a runner at the last minute, at the last stretch, and he would bow his chest and he'd hit the mark. Let me tell you something, we have to get on our marks. And man, as runners for Christ, we have to set our focus on the finish line. And that finish line is to be more like Christ. Our focus is to be like Christ. And when we hear the gun sound, like we're about to hear when we say you're dismissed, we got to start running as we were on fire. So today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm just going to ask you a question. you're here today and you have never focused your attention. You've never focused your heart and given your life as to Jesus Christ. If that's you and you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you this opportunity to raise your hand and do that right now. If that's you, raise your hand. The next group of people I want to ask, you've lost your focus. Your focus has not been on the things of God. And this morning you're saying, I am ready to fix my eyes upon Christ, untangle my life, and run with perseverance to the finish line. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Hands all over. Hands all over. As a body, I'd like for us to stand. Stand to our feet. Father, I just pray, God, for our focus. God, that we would focus on you. God, that we would focus our attention, that our concentration would be upon you. Father, that we fix our eyes on the eternal things and not the temporary things. God, for those that raise their hands in this place, God, I pray that they would just start to fix, God, everything that they are, their heart, their mind, their emotions, God, everything upon you, the author and perfecter of their faith. And God, I pray that there would just be, God, an impossible faith that comes up inside them and they're able to do all that you've called them to do. Father, right now, we bless this day. God, we ask that you would be with us throughout the week. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody prayed and said, hey, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you because let me tell you something. You are the hope of this world. You are the church of Jesus Christ. And you hold the hope that this world needs. And you make this world a better place because you're in it. God bless you, and I pray that you'd have a wonderful week. Thanks for being here and worshiping with us.